Listen to these words from Isaiah the prophet. You can find them in your pew Bibles if you would like to follow along. Let me read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. You've just heard this sung. For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. And then from the Gospel of John, these words from what we call either the Upper Room Discourses or the Farewell Discourses, chapter 14 of John. The Upper Room Discourse begins in chapter 13, but this is Jesus now speaking to his disciples. Let me read verses 15 to 17 and then verses 25 and 26. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you and will be in you. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything by reminding you of all that I have said to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, Happy New Year. Right? Happy New Year. I'm often confused, but I think that's right. Happy New Year. This is the first Sunday, the first day of the new year, the new liturgical year. The new church year, the year where we celebrate the beginning of a new cycle of high holy days that we will celebrate throughout the coming year. So, Happy New Year. This morning, we begin this new year, and we want to celebrate it in thinking about what it means to be Advent, that is, what this Advent season means. We also want to look at the text in Isaiah and ask about the hope that Isaiah proclaims in the midst of the chaos of the world in which he lived. And then we want also to look at the passage in John that talks to us about the promise of another counselor. So I want to speak with you about these different aspects, and I want to ask you three questions. The first question, are you open and ready for God to break into your life again? Are you open and ready for God to break into your life again?
Yes.
Amen. Second question, are you willing to live toward the promise, into the promise of God in a world of brokenness? Are you willing to take that on, to live that, to follow the call that God has placed on your heart and life, to live into those promises of God in a world of brokenness? And the third question, are you willing to be Advent to God's world? Are you willing to be Advent to God's world? So these are the questions that I want to look with you at as we look at our thoughts this morning and our passages. So let's begin with Advent. And this just sets the stage for this new sermon series, and his name shall be called, and then the four titles. But Advent is a time of waiting, as Michelle already said. It's a time of waiting. It's also a time of coming to or a time of arrival. And so what we do in Advent is we remember the arrival, the waiting and for the arrival of God and God's Messiah. Now, the interesting thing about Advent is that it confuses our time. Advent is not really preparation for Christmas. I love the greens. I love the candles. Don't throw anything at me. But Advent is really a time of waiting for the second coming of Christ. We are in anticipation. We are waiting. We know that he has already come. We know that he promises to return and to come again. And this is the moment that we are now setting aside to consciously wait for the second coming of Christ. Now, century after century after century of Christians have been waiting for this event. Can we still wait with that same kind of eagerness? Can we still wait for the arrival that has already taken place once and promises to take place again? Advent is the Latin term for the Greek term, or not for the Greek term, but meaning the same thing as the Greek term parousia, that is coming or presence. And so we're looking at this season as the coming or the presence of Christ in our midst. Our calendars are turned around a little bit. You'll notice that we celebrate the coming of Christ, and then we celebrate his birth in the church calendar year. That's odd. But it's exactly what Revelation did, right? And if you look at Revelation and you see the cycles that are taking place there, in chapter 11, you finally come to the crucifixion. And then in chapter 12 of Revelation, you have the birth. It doesn't make sense. Not according to our time, it doesn't make sense. But this is God's time. And God has disrupted our time with his own time. Will we be disruptible? Will we be those who are open to God's disruption of our time? Because one of the things that Advent tells us is that God can come into our life, can break into our life at any minute, any time. God doesn't need our timing for that. This is God's time, and it's disruptive, and it enters into our time in a new and a powerful way. Listen to these words from Ernst Caseman. The hour in which God will encounter us is unpredictable. The disciples had to be on their way toward an unknown future. This is now he's reflecting on the call of the disciples to an unknown future, and get this, for which they were not in the least prepared. To celebrate Advent is to be suddenly exposed to the grasp of the coming one. He's got us. Where Advent really dawns on us, we do not remain as we were, but are set in motion by an irresistible force and have a mission overshadowing everything else, a salvation and a destiny, all in one. Advent, are we open? Are we ready for God's new intervention in our time? Now, we're not talking in that sense about the second coming. That would be a massive, world event. But are we ready for the intervention, the second coming? I'm assuming that I'm speaking mostly to Christian people, mostly to disciples. Are we willing to let God come into our life a second time, a new time, a time that will transform our time into God's new reality? So that's the first question. The second question is, are we willing to live toward the promise of God in a world of brokenness? Now, I say this because out of our passage in Isaiah, if you look at the passage in Isaiah, and if you read the first chapters and then on through the whole book, you begin to see that what Isaiah is talking about here is something that God is doing in a brand new way. And what we have is the juxtaposition, Walter Brueggemann reminds us of this, but the juxtaposition of judgment and promise. And so in chapter 1, we have judgment on Judah, and then at the beginning of chapter 2, we have promise. What's the promise going to look like? And then in chapter 3 and 4, we have judgment, and at the beginning of 4, we have promise. And so it goes in 5 and 6, and then our chapter, or the verses that we read in chapter 9 are part of the promise. And so it goes throughout Isaiah. That's the pattern. The hope of Judah was that judgment would not be the final word of God. And it isn't. Judgment is not the final word. But listen to what God is judging Judah for. This is what I would call the external, the societal kind of issues that we need to face. So listen to some of these things. The judgment came upon Judah because it was forsaking God. It was not defending the widow, the orphan, the oppressed. Idolatry was rampant. Diviners were consulted. People took from the poor. They amassed property at other people's expenses. They became drunkards without knowledge. Bloodshed took place rather than justice. Cries rather than righteousness. And on and on and on it goes. This is the society in which these words come to us. And they're words of judgment, but that's not the final word. Now, so I was thinking, okay, so if Isaiah were here today, what would he tell us? What would he judge our society about? And those of you who have read Harry Potter know that there is a name that is not to be mentioned. I think Isaiah would take those social issues that are not to be mentioned in the church and say, this is the judgment on this society. So what do we have? Let me list some of them. How we treat people who are different from us, racially, ethnically, sexually, economically. How we then write these issues, not as a political agenda, but as somehow a response to the judgment of God in trying to figure out and help our society be more in tune with the will of God. How can we do that? We could list other isms: nationalism, militarism, sexism, sexual harassment, nuclear proliferation, religious prejudice, lack of care for the environment, on and on and on. These are societal issues. But the point of Isaiah is not that therefore you are left with that judgment, but the promise of God comes in the midst of that. We have to deal with that. And yes, judgment is real, but what we get to do then is live into the promises of God. Listen to the promises of God. All the nations, we're told, will stream to God's holy mountain. Wow, what a image. Instruction will come from God. God's presence will be a shade from the heat of the day and shelter from the storm. A great light will shine and freedom will come. This is the promise into which we are to live and affect our world. I don't watch a lot of movies, but I've seen a couple of movies recently, one of which is called Enchanted. Those of you who have kids or grandkids will know Enchanted. The other is Roman J. Israel, Esquire. It's out in the theaters today, I think today. We saw it back in North Carolina. Both of these movies, in one sense, say the same thing. That'll surprise you. If you've seen them, it surprises me. But they both take a person and highlight a person who comes from kind of a different realm and comes into, one into New York City, the other into Los Angeles, and they both work on a different way of living than the general population. So, for instance, the little princess that comes from, what's the name of the place? Andalasia, I think it is pronounced, or something like that. Is that right? Andalasia, okay. She comes, and the Wicked Witch, you know, sends her away, and she ends up in New York City. And she's just full of love and joy, and I can't quite do it like she does, but she's smiling, and everything's always going to be okay, and just love each other. And you know what? Her infectious joy and love and acceptance changes her world. It doesn't change all of New York City, but it does change those around her. And with Roman J. Israel, what you have is a person probably on the, on the autism spectrum who's very bright. And his goal in life, he's a former civil rights activist and has studied with a man who is also. And what he wants to do is he wants to change the legal system as it works against young black men who are incarcerated. That's a generalization, but that's really what he wants to do. But nobody knows that. But he carries this briefcase around. And I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but at the end of the story, we see that finally that those briefs are lodged with the federal court, and a new way of living is going to, hopefully, at least you're led to believe, take place. Can we, living into the promises of God, affect the world around us? Will we take those promises of light and freedom and acceptance and love and change the world around us in a new way? It's not that we haven't been trying to do it in a new way during this Advent season. And then finally, let me just say a word about this wonderful counselor. In the fourth gospel, we have this term, parakletos. The old translation is counselor. The new translation is more helper, advocate, paraclete. But it is the guiding one. Jesus says, I will send you another counselor, another advocate, another person who will guide you into the way of all truth. And we come to understand that Jesus has given us a way to live not only by the words that he has spoken, but by the experience that he has lived and the model that he has given to us. And so we begin to reflect, and I would say the question here is, and I'll come back to this, but the question is, are we willing to be Advent to God's world? Now, we need a counselor. We need a counselor who cares, who will give us counsel that transforms us. We need someone who will listen, question, guide, lead, deepen our understanding of ourselves and our life and our world. We need someone who will hear our pain, support our yearnings, show us our way. We really need someone who will hear us and show us what we can't see about ourselves. And so we need someone who will help us embrace ourselves, but also someone who will help us get over ourselves. We need someone who will help us reflect the will and the work of God. Now, I needed a counselor a few years ago. I probably still do. And so I went to see a counselor. It was a time in my life when I needed some reorientation. Janie and I were married. We had two little boys. We had a wonderful ministry with wonderful people. But internally, I was not healthy. And I needed someone to listen and to reflect and to guide me in some new ways of acting and reacting. And so I went. She listened. She made a few reflective comments. She let me talk. And the last time I saw her in counseling, she led me through an amazing welcoming home experience. I was a divided self. She was able to help me welcome my other self back. She was able to set me on a path toward integration and wholeness. In the last session I had with her, and I think I only had three or four sessions, but in the last session, I was crying so hard and so long that I went overtime. She billed me for that. Yeah. I had to pay an extra, I don't know, for those 15 minutes that I was just crying. I didn't say anything. She didn't say anything, but there it was. But what she was able to do is to help me become an integrated self with my world, with God's world and God's work and God's will. She was wonderful. And God's counsel came through her to me, and my life was changed. So I had to answer the question, will I be Advent in God's world today? So here's the progression. At the beginning of Advent, and at the beginning of this sermon, we ask the question, are we open to being to God's Advent, God's new Advent, God coming into our life in a new way during this Advent season? But at the end, what we're asking is, now that we have lived into the promise, will we be willing to be that Advent, that presence, that arrival of God's reality to those around us? You are the embodiment of God's presence in the world today. That's a tall order. And yet, isn't that really what's being asked of us? Not to do it on our own, not to be able to do it by ourselves, but to be able to take that newness that God has made in us, that integration, that wholeness, through the wonderful counselor, and let that be lived in our world. So the themes of waiting, of hoping, of believing, of living into the promise that run through these passages, in the midst of chaos and violence and uncertainty, the theme is God's promised faithfulness. And that suffices to carry us, whether Israel, whether the disciples, or whether us today, to live in this chaos, but to live it in the presence and giving the presence of God in our world. It's a new reality in our world today. We're not simply asking for something for the future, that all the ills will be righted and justice will happen in the future. No, this is something that we are called to take into our present. Listen again to the way Ernst Käsemann concludes. Advent sounds the breaking in of a new and a better humanity, thus summons us as servants and witnesses of the Nazarene and the crucified to war and resistance against the despoilers of the good creation of our God. His kingdom will also come through us. Our life is to be an advent of the coming one. In other words, we embody God's promises of a new and a better way to live, a new and a better humanity, the way we treat people, the way we build relationships. We might be the only arrival of God, the presence of God, that some people will ever hear or see or read. And I would say to you, you are living proof of God's promises fulfilled. And to those questions, my hope is that we will all say, yes, I am ready and I am willing. Let's pray. God, we want to be ready and we want to be willing. What you have done for us in the crucified one, in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has been so life-transforming and world-shaping that we want to be part of what you are doing in the world today. And so, yes, we want to be open. We want to live into the promises. And we are willing to take the risk of being Advent, presence of yours in our world. Strengthen us for such a challenging and comforting call. And we pray this in Jesus' name.